Blog Talk Radio.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This is the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This is the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now.
Hallelujah. In the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King to us all. Hallelujah. Abba Yah. Our Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for allowing our faculties to be in one state, in a state of peace, Father. Thank you for allowing us to hear your word. Thank you for allowing us to have a sound mind, a sound body, Father. Thank you for leading us and guiding us, Father, and protecting us throughout this week. Father, I ask personally, Father, that you forgive me for all my sins. And I ask, Father, that you forgive Israel and the whole world for all their sins, Father. We sin against you constantly on a day-to-day basis, knowingly and unknowingly, Father. I ask, Father, that you forgive us for our shortcomings. I ask, Father, that you impart your spirit upon myself and the whole world, Father, that you reveal your word to us, that you reveal your mind to us, Father. You reveal your intent to us, Father. Father, I ask that you continue to bless us, keep us, and show your face to us, Father. Father, I ask that you especially protect the children, Father. Protect their mind, body, and soul, Father, from the wiles of the adversary. Father, where anybody is struggling, allow them to cry out to you, Father, and hear their voice and save them. Strengthen us to overcome the wiles of the adversary. Strengthen us to overcome ourselves, Father. Strengthen us when we just don't want to do right, Father, and chastise us in your loving kindness to bring us back to your path, Father. Spare not your rod. But we know, Father, that you chastise those that you love. Father, thank you for giving us the blessing of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior and our Redeemer, Father. Thank you for the work that he did and he has accomplished on our behalf, Father. And we gladly accept the gift of salvation which you have given unto us. Hallelujah. Amen. Shalom, family. It's your brother Dave Well. I don't know if I'm too low or too loud. So if I'm too low or too loud, just send me a text and I'll try to make some adjustments as best as possible. But this is my last week going through this last parable right now. that Yahushua has given to us. And at the very onset of this, one of the things that was mentioned is that all these parables have something in common. You know, and if we was paying attention, each one of these parables talked about the kingdom of heaven. You know, each one spoke about something that was going on with the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Each one spoke of, he always thought of, and most of those parables came, we didn't read what happened before. So a lot of those parables started off with, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven is like, therefore XYZ. But something was going on that made our master, Yahushua, explain to people in a parable what it is like to be in the kingdom of heaven. So, today is no exception, you know, but in this case, we're going to read just a little bit before that so we can understand a little bit more, you know. So, we're going to start, this parable comes from Matthew chapter 25 at verse 1. Matthew 25:1. He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So we're going to stop right there. And what we're going to do is go to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Right? And we're going to start at verse 42. So, because this explains a lot, you know. But starting at verse 42, Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 42, he says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your master doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, he says this, and then it's just a continuation of that thought, right? So now, here's the parable. He says, Matthew 25:1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself.' And while they went to buy the bridegroom, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, 'Master, Master, open for us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" So you can see how what we read in chapter 24 and these first verses in chapter 25 link up. The idea is watching, paying attention, you know. But we're going to talk about this, Matthew 25, because there was a couple things that Abba showed me in it. So, again, even with 24 in mind, the thoughts are still there, right? So he says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." So you have, he says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." So the fact that they have lamps, that means it must be dark time, must be night. Because you don't need a lamp in the daytime. You don't need, when the sun's out, sun is up, you can see everything. So now you have 5 foolish virgins, 5 wise virgins, but they're all in the same boat. It's dark time. It's at night. And they need their lamps to see. The book of Isaiah, chapter 60, it says, "Arise," Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, he says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." So you have these virgins, all 10 of them, the wise and the foolish. Our brother Solomon talks about how we all share the same fate. He was talking about death. You know, how the wise man, the prudent man, shares the same fate as the fool. He was talking about death. But the same way that we all going to die one day, the wise men share the earth with the foolish men. The rich men share the earth with the poor men. We all in the same boat, every last one of us. You know, So people make these social statuses, you know. And because they have a status within society, they're treated a little bit better, or they're looked upon with favor. But we're all in the same boat. That multi-billionaire needs salvation just like the guy who's sleeping under the bridge. The guy who owns all this land, owns all of Africa, pick whatever you want to pick. He needs salvation just like the person who is starving down at the soup kitchen. We're all in the same boat. Yahweh said, the darkness covered the earth, and gross darkness the people, the wise and the simple. It's covered by this darkness. But what do you say? Arise, because thy light is come. Right? He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So, all right. So we have the virgins. All of us are in the same boat. But we have light. So he says in the book of John, chapter 4. I mean, excuse me, the book of John, chapter 9, starting at verse 4. Two thoughts here, right? He says, book of John, chapter 9, verse 4. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And that was Yahushua talking. So now we know who is this light. Arise, because thy light has come. When those people accept Yahushua HaMashiach, whether it be the wise or the foolish, accept Yahushua HaMashiach, the rich or the poor, he sheds light inside this darkened world. Right? I am the light of the world. So now you have that lamp. And because you have that lamp, you are now able to see. Can't move when it's dark. It's a gross darkness, a thick darkness that covered the people. To the point you can't see. What they call pitch blackness. When you're groping around trying to feel out a path or feel out and try to find something so you can move. Because your eyes don't function well without light. You know, that's one of a form of torture. People put you in a dark hole where there's no light. Light deprivation. And it affects you psychologically. It literally affects your mind. People know this. Well, man knows this. The importance of light within this world. So Yahushua said, I'm the light of this world. So we grab onto him. Right? Another thing. He says, I must work, still in John, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. While it's day, we work. While we can see, we work. Right? Because when the night comes, we can't function. We can't do it while underneath of this gross darkness. So we need some type of light in order to work, in order to get something done. Right? Another thing he says, Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, you have the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, right? They got caught sleeping. They got caught slumbering. A lot of times you sleep at night. Most people sleep at night. So they weren't working, right? But then a call went out when they weren't expecting it, because if they were expecting it, they would have been up and ready for it. Some put in work in the daytime. The wise ones did, because they had their oil. Both of them had lamps, but they had their oil, right? So Yahushua said, work while it's daytime, because at night, can't do no work. So we have to prep ourselves and get in preparation for the coming of our master, our Messiah, our King, while it's daytime, while we have time. See, because at night, when our eyes are closed, we can't see. When we sleep, no light comes within our eyes. That's why we close our eyes when we sleep. We can't see. We can't watch as we are instructed to. And he said he's going to come at a time when we're not expecting him. So we have to put that work in while we have this vitality within us, while we're up, while we can see in the daytime. Put that work in. Work while it's daytime. At night, we're slumbering, right? So you have, again, his word is a light to our feet. It's a lamp to our feet, light to our pathway. So he is that word, one and the same, right? He's going to show us the way we need to go, right? But we have to put work in while we can. Because when our eyes shut, another thing that we talked about, sleep is akin to death. Those virgins were caught sleep, all of them were caught sleep. They were like in a dead state. You're not moving, you're not doing anything in that state, so you can't work. Dead people can't put in any more work. So you have to do this while you are alive. What are you going to do? How are you going to maintain your salvation if you're dead? Your story is written. It's over for you. It's done. There's nothing more that you can do. When he takes back that spirit that he put in you, what are you going to do? There's absolutely nothing you can do at that point. So anything that you wish to do, anything that if you feel as though you're lacking, if you feel as though your salvation is in jeopardy, if you feel as though you're on the wrong side of that scale of righteousness, do it while you're alive. Balance it out now. Tip that scale into your favor. Show your good works while you have the opportunity. Because the same way we don't know when Yahushua is going to come back, we don't know when we're going to die either. We have not a clue. People die every day. And I'm pretty sure they don't wake up. Most people don't wake up with that on their mind. That I'm going to die today. Young people die. Old people die. I'm pretty sure they don't. Most people don't do that. I mean, it might be some people who are like terminally ill who have to accept that fate. You know? But it's a lot of folks. We live in Baltimore City. Over 100 people have been murdered. Murdered. That's death. And I'm pretty sure they did not wake up that morning thinking they were going to get murdered. In most cases. So we have to do the work while we are alive. All right. All right. Let's go back to our parable. In the same boat. We're going to pick up. He said the wise were prepared, right? The wise ones took oil in their vessels with their lamps. He says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, one of the questions that the Most High put on my mind is, why did he call them foolish? You know, because it was five of them that he called wise. Five of them he called foolish. Now, five of them prepared themselves. Is that why they were wise? Just because they prepared themselves? He says, verse 9, he says, but the wise answered, verse 8 again, he says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So that means that these foolish ones had a wick inside of the lamp with no oil. So they just cut the wick on fire. And after the wick burned out, they didn't have any more light. So they asking the wise ones for some oil. So the wick will burn the oil. Learned that from my old brother, you know, the wick master. But they didn't have any oil in their vessel to burn. So that just means they were burning the wick. So the wick went right out. Burnt for a little bit, went right out. And they were asking for oil. Now, that's not it. Okay. I don't think I put it down. But the question that the Most High says, okay, what made the question that he put on my mind is why they were foolish. So instead of them asking for oil, right, you have somebody out there, five of them, who do have a lamp and five whose light went out. Why didn't they just follow the ones who do have light, who could see the path? Right? Let me find this verse. Because y'all know the verse. I can say y'all know it. It says, wide and broad is the path that leads to destruction. Straight and narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. He said, and few shall find it. Let me go look for it. Right? But the implication being, somebody knows where this path is. And you have to be led to it. Because it's going to be people who are looking for it, but they're not going to be able to find it. So instead of them asking for the all, they should have just followed or linked up. Because it's five foolish and five wise ones. They had enough all to make it. That's all they had to do was follow them. Because the five ones, the five wise ones knew the way. And the five foolish ones know the way too. Because after they went and bought some oil, they went and got to the master, but the door was shut. So they were late. Point being, why didn't they just follow the ones who were prepared? Which brings me to this point. Am I my brother's keeper? We as Israel have adopted the mentality of independence. You know, Israel is a mess, number one. But number two, Israel is functioning outside of the ways that the Most High wants them to function. Israel was supposed to be a unit. They were supposed to be 12 that were one. But Israel doesn't function that way. There might be some who will know a thing within the state of Israel, but won't share that knowledge of them knowing whatever they know for the greater good, because that's their thing, you know. And I'm not talking about anything that's contrary to the word, because again, the word, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The word shows us the path. So if it's something outside of the word, you know, don't share that. Don't even share it with you. Banish that thought. Okay? But Israel should be in a state where we function together. All right? There's some people within Israel who are good at building. There's some people within Israel who are good at research. There's some people in Israel that's good at gardening. There's some people in Israel that are good at is doctors, nurses, businessmen, businesswomen. You know, within Israel, where we don't have to be a destitute nation. We don't. But the thing that unifies us is actually the thing that is separating us. The thing that should be unifying us, the word of the Most High, is what should be unifying us. But that is actually what separates us. You know, we all should be under the banner of Yahushua HaMashiach. But then, you have some people who are Israel who don't even believe in the Messiah. Then you have some people within Israel who for lack of a better term, just make up stuff that's not in Torah. They don't follow Torah at all. They just make up stuff as they go. And you ask them where this idea come from, they don't have an answer for you. So how can they lead? How can you follow somebody? Or I mean, how can one be led who don't want to follow? You know? You have people within Israel who know the way. Why can't you be your brother's keeper? You know, some people just don't want to share this knowledge. Share knowledge with folks. You know, there's people, the Israelites out there who have their little cliques for the most part. You got the clique downtown. You know, they don't deal with other Israelites and don't want to talk about unifying, you know, because only they have the truth. Then you have other Israelites that are so pious, so to speak. They don't want to be bothered with, they won't even speak to you, to be honest. They want to argue over zit, locks, beards, all kinds of stuff. And instead of us unifying and doing the things that the Most High wants us to do, that work that He wants us to do, that we're supposed to do while we're alive, separates us. Because again, we're all in the same boat. We're all supposed to be watching for the Messiah. We all are. Every last one of us. You know? You have Israel who we can't agree on days like the Shabbat. Can't agree on feast days. And we can't sit down and actually reason with one another to the point where Israel just wants to show how much they know. It's not about actually changing to be in compliance with Yah. It's about showing how much I know. So you have this state of confusion, and that mind is darkened. Our minds stay darkened. The light never rises within us because we're too busy trying to show what we know. But somebody knows. And instead of us holding hands and linking up to get the big picture, you know, a more clear picture, we stay divided and just have our little piece of the puzzle. So that brightness of that light never shines fully. He said, I gave some teachers, some prophets, some apostles, some this, some that, some that, all that. He gave all these different gifts to all these different people. And he wanted to perfect everybody that believes in him. That's the whole point of giving all these gifts to all these different people, so they can work and perfect everybody else. But we can't do that divided. It can't be done divided. It can't be done unless we hold hands, we link up with people who have the light. You know, sometimes our actions make us foolish. All right? Okay. Again, he says, in John 8:12, he says, then spoke Yahushua again, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So again, with those foolish virgins, instead of you going back to buy oil, walk with somebody who has light. Hook up with them. Learn from them. You know? That way you don't miss out on the coming of that bridegroom. But instead, you made this decision to go back. He said, we don't have enough. You had to buy your own. You asked the wrong question. Instead of you saying, give us some of your oil, you should have said, can I walk with you? Then you would not have missed out. Because once that door shut, what did he say? There was a, let me go back. All right. He says, Matthew 25:9. He says, but the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Master, Master, open for us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he says, but the day of the Master will come as a thief in the night. Just like he said in Matthew chapter 24, he said, if you know what time the thief is coming, you're not going to sleep because you don't want him to steal from your house. Right? He said, but that day going to come to him like a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will weld away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. So, it's going to pass away with a great noise, because those who are shut out, as we read in Matthew 24, weeping, gnashing of teeth, it's not going to be a good day for them. You know, something Yahweh that was showing me about the coming of the Messiah. Some people are going to be saying, oh my goodness. I got to thinking about Kevin Hart. Where he says, oh my goodness. Oh, it's Yahushua. Oh my goodness. Whoa, no, yeah. I can't believe it. Yeah. Some people are going to be like that. But then some people are going to be like, oh no, it's Yahushua. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it. Whoa. Some people ain't going to be so happy to see him, because they know their works. They know what they were doing. And they know they're going to have to pay for the works that they were doing. You know? Point being, we as servants supposed to be watching for for Yahushua. We're supposed to be looking for him. And on point. Supposed to be leading others to him. But we can't do that unless he's within us. Because again, he is the light to our a lamp to our feet, light to our pathway. That's what he is. Therefore, watch. Because he allows us to watch. He allows us be those wise virgins. That's what we are preparing with. That's what that oil is. It continues to burn. When you're in darkness and you have that one little flicker of light, people are drawn to it. You know, just like a moth to the flame, as they say. You know, it goes to that flame when there's no other light source there and burns itself up. You know, but that's what we're supposed to be doing. Another thing that I really wanted to impress upon us is hope, you know, because this is something we're going to be talking about in the morning classes. Unification. We have to get closer, brothers and sisters. We have to be that finely knit unit. That's what we have to do. You know, all of us have a talent, and there's no need for us to suffer. There's no need for no Israelite to suffer. We should be ready, willing, and able to help one another. You know, just a little bit. It don't take a whole lot. Just a little bit from everybody will alleviate any type of suffering. Sometimes all it takes for you to be available. Sometimes all it takes is for you to have a listening ear. You know. Sometimes that's a lot of times that's all it takes. Just little things. You know. That help us unify. That brings us together. Because that is a work that we must do. Israel was a family. And not was. Israel is a family. Always has been. They are the sons of Israel. Their brothers, their sisters, their family. We shouldn't turn our backs on one another. If we have beef with one another, we should be able to work it out. People should not be walking away. People should not be, you know, and even though the word says it is going to be a great falling away from the truth before the coming of the Messiah. It is. That's what was told to us. That's what's going to happen. But we have to do our part. Those sheep. You know? Because that's what our big brother would do. That's what our king would do. He did everything he could to keep the sheep within the fold. He said, I'm not going to lose one. No, not one. If one stray, I'm going to go find him. I'm going to leave the 99, and I'm going to go find that one. So that's what we should be doing. Now, if people choose to do it, that's their choice. So be it. You know, that's the choice that they decided to make. But beefs between Israel should not happen. We should be able to sit down and discuss through the Torah, through that word, that thing that's supposed to unify us, our differences. You know, that's what should be able to happen. Because that's something that has to happen. We have, like I said, we have all these groups of folks, and everybody says they have the truth. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, what gets on my mind is that if we're not going to change, there's no point in it. If you're not ready, then, you know, because we have to unify, but there's no point in you faking it, you know. There's no point in coming together and with the intent of just showing what you know. And matter of fact, that's just the problem. that's the problem. Everybody wants to come together and show what they know instead of listening to the wise, listening to those who know. You know, you can express, matter of fact, let's look at something. Because we have an example of that. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, starting at verse 1, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question." So there's a dispute going on. Paul and Barnabas are on one side of the dispute, and these other men who came down who says, unless you are circumcised according to the manner of Moses, you can't be saved, or on the other side of the dispute. So they had this, they had a discussion, and then they sent Paul and Barnabas up to Jerusalem about the question. He says, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that Elohim had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." So now they're in Jerusalem, same question. Right? "And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter." So you have a meeting of the minds right now. This is how Israel supposed to resolve their differences. This is how we get things done. A question comes up, the elders get together and they speak on this question. They talk about this question. Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Elohim, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. So now, evidence. They were disputing. Here come Peter with some more evidence. And put no, verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye Elohim to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Master Yahushua HaMashiach, we shall be saved, even as they. All the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Elohim had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now, in this case, James being the elder of the church, you have all these men together. James is the leader of all these men. But point being, all the men came together to discuss this matter, to get it done. Not to show what they did, what they know, and this, that, and another, because evidence was presented. They wasn't talking about the Paleo Hebrew. They wasn't talking about all these, anything that these brothers can think of, you know. Evidence was presented on why they believe such a thing. That's what they did. And they came there with the purpose and the only purpose of answering this question and putting an end to the dissension and putting an end to this dysfunction that was going on within Israel. Because anytime that you have this dysfunction going on in Israel, again, your mind's darkened. We're not seeing the light of the Messiah. We're not looking at the, we're not on the same path. There's a problem there. So he says, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Verse 14, Simon hath declared how Elohim at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. Hear that? The word said. He agrees with the words of the prophet. This is how we're going to solve this matter. It's not based on what this guy thinks and what my elder feels and this. What did the prophet say? So this is how we can hammer out a lot of these differences. But one, first problem, pride. People have to set their pride to the side for the sake of this work that we have to do, the sake of the unification of Israel. People have to put it to the side. Forget what you know. You know, forget what you know. So he says, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after Yahweh and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith Yahweh, who doeth all these things. So I'm going to just stop right there. That's how they were getting things done. That's how things should be getting done when it comes to the unification of Israel. What does the word say in this state? What does the word say on this matter? That will be a big step, you know, as far as that'll put a smile on our face. If we could just come together. If we could function as a family. Not as Cain and Abel, because they were family too. And what they do, kill one another. One killed the other. We're not supposed to be functioning like that then. Well, we should be functioning as a well-oiled machine, as one of my brothers say. Each part should be doing exactly what it is intended to do within this nation. You know, that's you know, was on my mind also. Something Abba put there. Because this has to be done. You know, this really has to be done. But that's the end of the Torah portion. And prayerfully, Abba then showed y'all and myself. I know he showed me some things. Prayerfully, he opened your mind up as well. You know, I could pray that he continue to reveal his word unto all of us. You know, I pray that he continues growing us. You know, giving his teachers his word to dispense on to everyone that believes in him. You know, perfecting his saints. You know, that's what I pray he does. So, Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother Daywell signing off. And Shabbat Shalom.